You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Radiant Culture Podcast. This is your host, Cookie Monster. And today I guess it's a very unique episode today because we really want to honor someone who has meant a lot to us and somebody who's had a huge influence on this particular podcast and who was really the, you know, one of the major reasons why Radiant Culture was started. Today we want to do this episode as a dedication and a tribute to Ravi Zacharias, who's a Christian apologist, one of the foremost Christian apologists, who passed away just this week on the 19th of May after a short battle with a bone cancer. And so today I have Mr. Kent, the producer.
Yeah.
And Biscuit.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we're going to be discussing, and the reason why it's the three of us doing this discussion, particularly today, is because Ravi has had a profound impact on our lives personally, you know, in a very profound way. And so we just want to talk about who he is. We want to talk about the impact that he's made, his life, his legacy, and most importantly, what it means for our generation and for all of us going forward. So, gentlemen, how's it going?
Going good, man. Going good.
Yeah.
Good to be back. We're still here.
Good to see you guys after lockdown.
Well, we're still in lockdown.
Well, yeah. Okay. After
partial
lockdown. Partial lockdown.
Partial lockdown.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks, so it's nice to see you.
Yeah,
Biscuit,
yeah.
You're looking a little rounder.
Am I a little rounder? No, fam. I'm all right. I think I'm still looking as I did. I failed. You know, one of the annoying things about the lockdown.
Yeah.
And this whole COVID thing. I mean, COVID, terrible, terrible. But we all hoped that we'd do things within the lockdown and achieve certain things and, you know, come out millionaires or whatever it is we plan to do. And, I did watch a lot of series.
Right.
And, I think I stocked up on enough sleep for about a year or something. Unfortunately,
that is true.
My muscle gains didn't quite go the way they were supposed to go.
Totally allowed, man.
Yeah.
It is totally allowed. Anyway, let's get into it. I think the way I would like us to start this is maybe just to start by discussing who Ravi actually is. Ravi Zacharias is an Indian-born Christian apologist and evangelist who then relocated to North America, to Canada initially, and then to the U.S., to Atlanta. And he was, in my estimation, I think most of us will attest to this, that he's definitely the greatest defender of the faith, at least, you know, in our time. And he spoke on all sorts of platforms, from your Ivy League schools, institutions rather, to presidents, to UN breakfasts, to, you know, and then he used to have these one-on-ones with just random people who were atheists, who were skeptics, agnostics. And then, you know, he was also a huge voice in the Christian, in the body of Christ as a whole, you know, just challenging us to think, challenging us to question things, to pursue meaning, to pursue truth. And so I think, you know, he really had a massive impact on all of us and on Christianity as a whole. Yeah. And so, I remember when this is in December, when Ravi spoke at the Passion Conference, that's Louis Giglio's conference. It's a huge conference that has about, I think at that particular meeting, there were more than 60,000 young people. And he was one of the speakers there. And his message was very, very deep, very touching. And that was, I think, at the end of December. And then just a few weeks after that, he goes in for surgery, back surgery. I think it was emergency back surgery. Then after the surgery, I think he then started having some very intense pain. And everyone sort of thought it was just the post-surgery pain. And it got so intense that I guess he then went for scans and stuff, and they discovered that he had this rare form of bone cancer. And everything was kind of downhill from there. And then he just deteriorated. And I'll never forget the day when the report, or the, what do you call it? It's not a report. When his daughter, who's the CEO of RZIM, announced that everything that could be done medically had been done, and there was nothing more that could be done. And she basically said that they're going to be spending the next, I guess, few days with him, you know, before he goes to be with the Lord. It was so daunting. And for me, I remember I actually cried, you know, and I remember just sending the messages to all the guys just saying, "Ish, you know, this is hectic."
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's who Ravi is. And you can check him out online. Profound man. And just his humility and his depth of intellect, you know, is unmatched. And so, yeah. But maybe the first question I'd ask is, what would you guys say is the thing that made him so unique?
You know, when talking about Ravi, it's you can't, to say let's sum him up would be an insult.
Yeah.
There is too much, even in trying to, and I'm thinking particularly of the people listening to this who are not familiar with Ravi. We cannot adequately express to you how important he has been to the body of Christ, how many people he's impacted, how far-reaching he has been, and how far he's taken the gospel itself. You really have to go and investigate him yourself. We could read eulogies of him. We could tell you what Wikipedia says. We can tell you what his own website says. It's not enough. You have to listen to the man. What made him so different for me was maybe when I met him. Not met him, not in real life. I tell my friends that, you know how you grow up and you're always like, there's one person, if there's one person you'd want to meet in life, like a superstar or something like that, and we've got movie stars, we've got athletes we want to meet. I used to have maybe a band I really wanted to meet.
Yeah.
Linkin Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we've come a long way. but then there was a point
why
when...
Why do you always want to meet people that eventually...
I know, hey, just kind of...
I know, right?
Before I could meet him, the guy Chester goes and... Yeah, it really sucks. But there was a point when it shifted and it became Ravi.
Yeah.
I thought, man, if I could have dinner with this guy, if I could just spend 5 minutes just to say more than anything, thank you, but also just to just ask a question. And I always felt like no matter how dumb my question would be, he would probably give me the time and actually answer it as if it was the most important question in the world for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's a legend. So like you, when the news came, it felt like the loss of a good friend.
Yeah.
And this is just from listening to his teachings, but I was like, Ravi, of all people.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew he was dealing with back pain, but what happened?
Yeah.
So I met him through Cookie Monster, actually, not too far from here, in some block of apartments. I know you guys are familiar with the adventures that occurred in this location.
We shan't
go there. There shall be some behind the scenes episodes. But, needless to say, in that time, we were all still searching for Christ. We had been on our journeys for quite some time. And, Cookie Monster, I don't know who gave him this material, but he proceeded to give it to me as well. And says like, yo, you should listen to this guy. You might like some of what he says. And I was hooked from that point onwards. I've always been more of a thinker.
Yeah.
More of a ruminator.
This we know.
I lean towards intellect. I cannot say I'm the smartest man on the planet, but I do like to listen to smart people. And as a thinker, you naturally have questions and queries that unfortunately many churches, sermons, pastors and leaders do not address.
Yeah.
Not that they can't, but in that 45 minutes of a sermon, they generally don't.
Yeah.
Ravi addressed questions. questions that I'd carried, and just listening to those podcasts and those messages was how I met him, and just started to have answers coming, and it was and has been and continues to be amazing.
Yeah,
just a great journey.
Yeah,
so that's me. So his impact, to answer the question of why he's so different, is because of that. He answers the questions we carry, but our Christianese prevents us from dealing with. We're too busy saying, "I'm blessed, I'm highly favored."
It's all right.
Or, "Good day, brother, sister," or very good at that, where we come in, we get charged in the message, but certain fundamentals aren't answered.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And when you go and ask that very fired up question after the service, "Hey, you call yourself a Christian. Why is there so much evil in the world if there's a good God?" That same guy who just heard that fired up message cannot answer that question.
Because I believe.
He just tells you, "I believe, I feel it."
Yeah.
And that's not enough for some people.
Yeah.
So because Ravi ventured to address questions in a relatable and appealing manner,
right,
there are many apologists, many. And he lords so many others as well that are his mentors and his people that are, wow. But I feel it was the way he spoke to people, the way he came across as incredibly, I wanted to say genuine, but I would say loving to his audience.
Yeah.
Approachable, relatable, even as an Indian man.
Yeah.
And I'm here in Zimbabwe, just this black guy in Zimbabwe. I'm relating to this. I don't know. Maybe he's like, 20, 30 years older than me? Indian dude.
Yeah. Biscuit, I'm going to have to stop you.
Yeah.
Because I can see you're getting into the zone. But thank you. Thank you so much for that. Mr. Kent, I'm going to move over to you.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll pose the same question I'd pose to Biscuit. But you, especially, you know, you're someone who's in ministry. You're a pastor, and so you have that experience of dealing with people, of preaching in front of people, of having to prepare for a message, of, you know, carrying people's burdens and hurts, and all that stuff. And I guess what I want to hear from you is what would you say impacted you about Ravi the most? Especially as someone who's in ministry yourself.
Okay. So, like Biscuit said, I also got to know Ravi from you, Mr. Cookie Monster, many years ago. And yeah, I think the thing about Ravi is that, for me, I grew up in, when I came to know Christ, I grew up in a church society that, you know, it was great. It preached Christ. It preached about, you know, having faith in Christ, but never really gave a logical explanation for why we believed what we believed. And every time you had such questions, you were always kind of answered with, you know, "God acts in mysterious ways," or, you know, the things of God are higher than what man can comprehend, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point you get to a place where you get really tested in your faith and you don't really have answers, and it becomes a real struggle. So in listening to some of Ravi's sermons, it just shifted the way I thought about the gospel. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, we can actually logically explain, yes, the gospel is a wonder, but you can logically explain this wonder.
Yes.
And it was then further reinforced by a scripture, 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from about verse 11, where it's talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit revealing things to us, you know, the deep secrets of God, the mysteries of God, to those that have the Holy Spirit. And to me, that kind of cemented, and it's kind of, you know, I thought about Ravi when I read that scripture, and I was like, this is what this guy does. He explains the deep mysteries of God in a logical way, in a way that you can actually comprehend. So that shifted the way I thought, the way I approached the gospel. And you can ask anyone who's heard my messages, that people always say you always try to practically explain the gospel, whatever the word is, in my message. So Yeah, that's the kind of impact he's had, and that's what made him unique. That he made sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. You're right. And when you look at even the description of or the tagline of the ministry, which is helping the
believer think
mm-hmm. and the thinker believe.
Yeah.
You know, which is so simple and yet so profound, because sometimes as believers, unfortunately,
we don't think.
Right? We just kind of think that God, you know, everything is just going to happen miraculously. And the moment anything is defined or labeled spiritual, it automatically kind of belongs to this realm where things just happen spiritually. You can't understand the mysteries of God, right? And like you rightly said, Mr. Kent, there, that the mystery, God wants us to understand his mysteries.
Exactly.
Now, of course, we can never comprehensively understand everything.
Yeah.
But there are things that, because God gave us these minds, we have to be able to understand certain things. And Ravi was profound in that. So what's interesting is that Ravi actually, he really described himself as an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that what he did was evangelism.
Yeah.
Undergirded by apologetics. Yeah. And if you look at the impact of his life, I was just going through, I mean, the last couple of days I've been reading a lot of just tributes and all sorts of videos coming in from different, you know, from all sorts of people, just honoring him and remembering him. And one of the common threads there is people saying they've listened to a lot of smart people. They've listened to a lot of smart apologists, people who are great debaters, who have great arguments. But the one thing that made Ravi so unique is that for him, it wasn't about answering the question, but it was answering the questioner. Mm-hmm. You know, he was more concerned about reaching the person as opposed to just winning an argument. You know, and I think this is something that people can fall into, especially people who are smart and people who've got logic and stuff. It becomes all about, you know what, I know more than you. I can out-argue you or out-debate you. I guess in line with that, right, we're living in an age where a lot of people don't think, right? They're not critical thinkers. They're not thinking through their faith. They're not thinking through what it means to be a Christian. And therefore, they get stuck when life presents them with challenges or when real questions confront them. What would you guys say are some key lessons that we can learn from Ravi in line with that, especially given where our generation is at? Is my question making sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I think for me, one key lesson is humility.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's preached enough or explained enough, but for me, Ravi, I'm not saying he was perfect, but from just watching him preach and reading about his life and, you know, observing some of the things he did, he showed a side to humility that, you know, is not often portrayed by a lot of leaders.
Yes.
Especially in the Christian realm, where honor and respect of the Christian leader is big. Not that it's a bad thing, but Ravi kind of had a certain humility, a humility such that he didn't have to explain himself being in certain spheres, for example, with a group of rappers or with people of different beliefs, atheists, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Muslims, and like you said, he never sought to demean whoever he was talking to, but seeking to understand them and making sure that they answered. And that level of humility, he never wanted to come across as "I know more than you," but to actually help the person and to actually listen to the person, which is why I guess he kept on being invited by people who had contrary beliefs to him. But because of his humility, he was given access. And to me, it just showed that the humility and grace gives you access.
That's a very
good
point.
The word actually talks about that. You know, let your mouth be seasoned with grace. You know, as you preach this word, and that comes with humility. When you have humility and grace, it gives you access.
I'd agree that humility was a massive thing for me, and I'm always reminded about how Ravi didn't want the ministry to be called Ravi Zacharias ministry at first, because he was like, how he felt that was prideful in its own kind of way. And well, I'm glad it went the other way, and he still got it like that. But he's been humble from day one, and as you say, he tries to reach the heart of the person who's asking the question. He's under fire a lot, or he was under fire a lot. He'd go into many hostile territories, and I'm not just talking locations, because he went to hostile locations. And then he went to hostile environments like college campuses and stuff, where people were ready to just go at him. And then facing other intellectuals who he never necessarily said he knew everything or had the answer for everything, but he was able always to gently guide people to the realization of the answer behind the truth behind whatever it is that they were speaking about. And I loved it. And it led to him being, of course, like you said, invited to many gatherings by many people in many places. I believe did he not speak even to our president or something like that? He did. He even spoke to our president.
Former president.
Our former president. And, wow, the man is just everywhere. So what I liked is the humility and the courage. Humility in talking to people and humility before God to just let God take him wherever he needed to go, no matter what. And especially considering the chronic pain and stuff he was also dealing with. And then there was a wonderful video Cookie shared, which is on the Ravi Zacharias Ministries site, about people in the background who helped. And how even starting the ministry, he did not have anything to start it with. And he basically just said, God, okay, all right, let's do this. Take me where I need to go. And
it's amazing.
It just astounds me. Just astounds me.
Well, you know, the one thing that I keep thinking about as you guys are speaking is that you can't help but admire and respect a well-lived life.
Yes.
No matter who you are, even if you disagree with their fundamental beliefs, but when someone lives their life well, it's a there's something attractive about that. You know, which is why you get even people who don't believe in Jesus per se, who always talk about how they love the person that he was, or the way he's portrayed in the Bible, just because of that humility, that grace, that love. And, you know, Mr. Kench also brought up something that I think is really worth discussing, which is the whole issue of a lot of our churches today. And this is not to bash, you know, any particular ministry, but just, you know, a lot of our churches today, place huge emphasis, a huge amount of emphasis on church leaders. Right. Church leaders are honored. People are bowing down before church leaders, pulling out the red carpet. And, you know, everything begins to center around the leader. And the leader becomes like this figure who's got bodyguards, who's got fancy cars waiting for them outside. They only fly business class, you know, and we're seeing a lot of this stuff happen. Which in many ways has also made Christianity itself distasteful to a lot of people, because they're just like, but you guys, what's up with that? I will say that last night I was listening to a tribute to Ravi by some of the members of his team. And I love what, I think it's Vince Vitale or someone said, that Ravi was a very successful person, right? Successful at what he did. Very successful. Because imagine, here you are, you're the most, you're pretty much the greatest apologist alive, right? The most recognized, the most acknowledged. And yet, Ravi never wanted it to be about him. I actually remember one of his messages when he was talking about how RZIM was never meant to be about one person. And he was raising up people. He's been raising up people through the years. And now there's this solid team of, you know, close to 100 itinerant speakers that are all over the world. And then many other people as well. Obviously, like, us guys who are out here. And that just, that blows, that blows me away. Because I'm thinking, he could have just said, hey, listen, I'm the real deal here. you know, everything could have been about him.
Yeah.
He could have had bodyguards and protocol people coming out of everywhere. But, you know, just that humility for me is just like, wow. And I remember just thinking, would it not make such a huge difference if all our church leaders adopted a similar attitude, right? If all our church leaders had a similar posture, just to say, you know what, guys, it's actually not about me. It's about Christ. And I think it's such an attractive attribute. And I believe that it would make a huge difference, even in the followers. I see a lot of our big churches have, you know, it ends up being so much about defending my pastor, defending my prophet.
Yeah.
And we forget that, no, it's not about your prophet. It's about God. And I think Ravi resembled that so well. Anyway, I'm gonna move on.
Yeah.
And I guess the next thing I want us to discuss, this actually, you know, I thought about this morning, is the whole issue of the private life. Because the one thing that I think stood out about Ravi is that he had a very committed devotional life.
Yeah.
And what actually led to his success, and he acknowledges this, was his deep relationship with God.
Mm.
And so how it challenged me personally, I'll go first, is that I thought, you know, here we are, we're trying to do all these amazing things for God. We want God to use us. We want God to use us either in business or in ministry or whatever it is that we do. And yet we want to invest as little time as possible. You know, we want maximum results for the most minimal effort possible. Yeah. And yet Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. John 15, he talks about how he's the vine.
Yes.
Wow. You know, and we need to be connected to him for us to bear fruit. And with Ravi, for me, it, even you would hear this in all his messages, that he had this really devoted prayer life, this deep relationship with God, which obviously was due to discipline. It was the result of many years of that disciplined lifestyle.
Yes.
I guess, you know, what would you guys like to say to that? You know, just the importance of that as a Christian and especially as a leader.
Yeah. I mean, that's just so profound. I read a quote, a friend of ours, he's in the music business, and he tweeted something, and he said, when something like you, Beyonce practiced for 8 months for a 2-hour concert, and you think you can just, do a business plan in 5 minutes and build an empire, something along those lines.
True. Very true.
And it got me thinking, you know, and it got me thinking about, you know, the word, you know, at that time I was reading in Luke, and how Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, and how a seed must go down and die and remain there unnoticed, unseen, and then it grows into a tree that, you know, birds and everyone come and take shade in. But there's a period in time where you don't see that tree or that seed growing as a tree, getting its foundation strong, and then it sprouts up. And to me, that just symbolizes the amount of time we need to be in devotion, growing that relationship. Like you said, without Christ, we're, you know, He's the vine. You know, without him, we can't bear fruit.
Yeah.
And the amount of time we need to be in him so that he infuses within us the power to produce what we need to produce, whether it be in business or in ministry, whatever we've been called to do, that amount. So to me, I just started, you know, reflecting on the amount of time that I actually spend in devotion.
Hmm.
You know, we can watch a 2.5-hour movie. Heck, 3.5 hours if it's Avengers.
Hey, the Snyder Cut is coming out soon, and that's going to be about 4 hours. I'll be there.
But to do 15 minutes in prayer, and I'm speaking personally.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
It can be a struggle to do 15 minutes. Obviously, there are days where you can push 1-2 and you're on fire. But on a regular.
Yeah.
But that's what we need. And when you look at the the unique times where you do push in prayer, what comes out of it? And if you think to yourself, if I can do this regularly, what can I become?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I think Ravi perpetually challenged me in that regard.
Yes.
You listen to him and you can hear this man put in the time. He thought about it. Yeah. He worked on it. And as you say, he had a very deep relationship. The conviction behind his words was palpable.
Yeah.
And of course, when you hear that often enough, daily in some cases for me, you question yourself.
You can't help.
You can't help but ask. Real talk though. Am I here? And we've been talking in our own groups, another group, about this degree of devotion and how much time we're dedicating to the Word, to our relationship with God and our walk in Christ. And it's challenging. It's just challenging. I like having him there to challenge us.
Yeah.
But yo, it's still like, it almost feels insurmountable, but he was always faithful. Another great thing is he was faithful with what he was given, with the ministry he was given.
Yeah.
And he just went where he was called. He did what he needed to do and he took it seriously. He realized, look, I can't be getting up there and just talking. I need to make sure my relationship is on point before I go out there and start doing these things. And that was a constant lesson to say, are we doing that with our callings, with our purposes, with our directions? Are we that focused, or do we sit down and, you know, give ourselves 2 hour breaks watching another episode of that series involving bank robberies? And I won't mention the one, but
and masks
and, you know, learning other languages. I don't know what you want to say, but
yeah, man.
He challenged us. Another thought that I'd been having was, kind of, you said something, Cookie, that sparked this thought in my mind, was that because Ravi had the courage to continue digging and investigating the mysteries of God more and more and more, even intellectually, it had the effect of only deepening and strengthening his resolve. Mm. And appreciation. I think one of the reasons why you made a point about how some preachers acquire a big head and so on, or miss the mark in some areas when it comes to their ministries like that. I think because Ravi had to investigate so much and dig so much, you realize your place in things. Mm. It strengthens your humility because you're always reminded perpetually about, hey,
yeah,
this God is big and this is an honor what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think then that humility bred into everything else that he did, because he was always realizing how small he was.
Yeah.
So I don't think the other guys do as much digging and realizing.
Wow. That's a profound point.
That is really good. Wow. Yeah.
That's good. You know, cause if you're surrounded by people who are always telling you how great you are and how amazing you are, and then now you just stop searching because
you're not looking anymore.
And then you just think you are the be all end all, and that's a very dangerous place to be. Another person that I wanted to highlight, who's often not mentioned, and Ravi actually talks about this, that Maggie, his wife, who was really the driving force behind everything. And I guess the stabilizer as well, you know, and he talks about the fact that sometimes, you know, he was gone 200 days in a year. He's on the road, he's traveling, and, you know, she's at home. She's the one who's taking care of the family. And she was also, you know, she's the person who used to, proofread a lot of his material, all of that kind of stuff. And you just see the importance of having the right kind of spouse.
Yeah.
Because, and I know we've spoken a lot about relationships on Radiant Culture, but I think that's another thing that I personally thought about. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So it is very pivotal to have a person, or the person, you know, who understands your calling and who is going to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, you know, to have the kind of person that you're going to support.
Yeah.
Right. And you work together to do the work of God. you know, as opposed to just, I guess I'm becoming more and more repulsed. That's a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By all these, you know, Instagram models and all these people where it's all about me. It's all about what I own. It's all about the car I drive. And right. Yes. I mean, especially when it's Christians, for me, yeah. It's just like, so what's the point? You know, why?
Yeah.
Yes. But what are you trying to achieve at the end of the day? But when you look at somebody like that, who's just like, you know, she was there. Right. She could have fought for the platform. The leaders mm-hmm. who do that, where you're like, okay, guys, pastor's wife, there seems to be like,
yeah,
it's almost as if there's a tag,
yeah.
Right. For the stage or for prominence.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, she was just there. I think for me, it's just like, wow, that's amazing. Right. Of course, maybe it had a lot to do with her own personality and stuff. But just, I guess the principle that I'm just trying to bring to the fore is that having that person or people
mm-hmm.
Who undergird you, who push you, who challenge you, who are there to help to support you and achieve your calling. And I think it's important for us, even as friends, right, that how much do we push each other?
Yeah.
How much
yeah.
do we challenge each
yeah.
other?
Yeah.
To become the people that God wants us to be. It's very important. You know, it's nice to have fun. It's nice to have dreams and ambitions and all these things we want to do. And we all have things that we want to do. We want to build companies. We want to. But what about our callings? Are we thinking about that? Are we challenging each other in that regard?
Yeah.
You know, and I know, Keith, that's something that's very, that you're very passionate about.
Yeah.
And maybe you can speak about that a bit as well.
Yeah. Speaking about partners. And I actually didn't know about Margie. I didn't even know who Ravi's wife was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how much she was in the background. And for me, one of the most impactful messages from Ravi that I ever listened to was "I, Isaac, Take Thee, Rebecca."
Yo, that message.
That message.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. That
message oof. Is the reason why I got married to my wife.
It even scares me, that message.
Ah, that message is scary.
It's so
tough.
Profound. I recommend that,
yeah.
that message to
yeah.
anybody who's thinking about yeah. getting married. And to me, what came out of it, I think I listened to that message, was it 2009 or something? And I don't know. I couldn't get enough of it. I kept yeah. listening to it. I broke it down. And the key things that came out of it was when you're looking for a wife, you're looking for certain character traits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talking about how Rebecca, when Abraham's servant came to ask for water, she didn't just take water for him, but also, you know.
Yeah, one camels. Of the first traits he mentions, you know, is kindness.
Exactly. And I wrote all these things and I broke them down.
Yeah,
and
wow.
When I met my wife, uh-huh. I was like literally trying to do things, like literally.
So you had your list.
I had my list. And one thing that stood out for me was I used to go to her house and, you know, I would invite you guys.
Yes.
And I used to observe how even the way she, at first it annoyed me, the way she treated me.
Yeah.
When I got to that house, the way she served me was exactly the way she served you guys.
Yeah.
And at first it would irritate me because I'm like, I'm supposed to be the special one. Yeah. Right? But later it just, you know, when I listened to Ravi again, I was like, oh my gosh.
That's
kindness.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's a character trait that I really like. She likes to serve. She likes to support. She likes to provide, to make sure you're well
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So to me, that helped me. And also, you know, just listening to him and how his wife, he told his wife that he felt that he needed to quit his job and start RSDIM.
Oh, yeah.
And how she supported when she could have just
deep.
Been like, what the heck? And
that was deep.
It also kind of threw a light in my own life. Something similar like that happened mm-hmm. where I quit my job. I had a nice job,
yeah.
you know, working for a branding company. I had a company car. I was
yeah.
paid on time, you know. And I had a good relationship with my bosses and
yeah.
stuff. And it wasn't easy because my boss was also my friend. It wasn't
yeah.
easy leaving. You know, things were going up, you know.
Yeah.
The business was growing. I was making a good contribution. It was a win-win solution. And I just felt God nagging me to say, look, you need to go and set up something of your own.
Yeah.
And breaking that, and we were actually expecting my the birth of my son.
Yeah.
And just telling my wife, I was so scared, and I told her, this is what I'm feeling. And it was amazing the way she said, if this is God, then you can't fight it. You can stay in that job, but you can't fight it. And having that person,
that's deep.
It just, it just carries.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's deep. Thank you for that. And and I think that that's something that everyone needs to hear and everyone needs to be aware of, especially, you know, those of us.
Those of us who are,
yes. So,
where are you?
Yeah. I don't know if you wanna add anything to that.
I will say this, Mr. Kent. I did know Margie, but I'd never seen her. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, that's her. And that was like this week as well. But he's spoken about her so many times.
And so highly.
So highly.
Yeah.
Whoa, you begin to just know Margie. And I don't know. There's another person he mentions in almost every sermon. Someone he always quotes. But Margie is like so much in his life.
Malcolm Margaret.
Okay. I think Margie and Malcolm Margaret are like mentioned pretty much almost on par.
Yeah.
And you can feel her presence and that she was his backbone.
Yeah.
She really helped him and carried him through developing the massive ministry.
Yeah.
She never took the limelight, but it's clear that without her, this ministry also wouldn't be what we know it to be today. And this week, while ruminating on all of this, a thought dashed into my mind when I was thinking about my friends and a friend in particular. And I was thinking, you know, one of those thoughts that just drops in your head.
Yeah.
Usually after a shower. Just and I was like, I know who you are, and I know who you want to be. And my role in his life as a friend is to know when to remind him of either of those two.
Yeah.
Sometimes who you are today does not match who you want to be.
Yeah.
And I need to help you correct that balance so you're always going in that kind of direction.
That's good.
And sometimes you forget who you want to be in favor of who you are today, and I need to remind you of those things. And I'm sure Margie did that often.
Yeah.
And helped him say, okay, you're going in this direction. You're doing this for this reason. Because you get tired. Mm. It's hard.
Yeah.
I know he used to question some things and maybe didn't always get the answers he wanted.
Yeah.
And it's tough and being away from the family and all that traveling, and it's hectic.
Yeah.
And you need that person next to you who's able to remind you of those two things in particular and walk with you through them, as much as obviously you return the kindness and do it for them as well.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I guess, you know, in a very real sense, we also, you know, we need to be those people, for others.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously for your partner and the person that, you know, you're married to, but even beyond that, you know, for the people that matter in your life, for your friends, your family, like we need to be those people that are constantly reminding people, like you said, to strike that balance or to remember where they're going and not let where they are determine what's going to happen. Then just quickly moving along, I want to talk about, you know, one of the things that I love about Ravi, and I began to see this in his latter years, was how he was beginning to connect with different people from different circles. You know, like, I was like, what? Ravi does this interview with The Truth. Like, I've actually got the interview.
Yeah,
brilliant interview.
Over and over.
I love it, man. And, and Lecrae.
Yeah.
And all these guys. I even saw there was a thing. I think he did like lunch with Kirk Franklin or something. Yeah. I'll tell you why I think that is so profound is, number one, there was this whole movement about hip hop. Right.
Yeah.
The Truth about hip hop, which really bashed hip hop.
Really bashed.
Right.
Went in.
And like it totally annihilated, well, tried to annihilate hip hop. And I think a lot of it, you know, as someone who's a thinker myself, I could hear some of the arguments and I could hear the truths in those arguments.
Yeah.
But I just think like the pendulum was swung to the one extreme.
Yeah.
And there was never balance that was brought to the table. And so many churches, well, some churches at least, you know, just totally destroyed the whole concept. Like they outdid, they just totally wanted to have nothing to do with the whole idea of hip hop. And I think we lost a lot of young people in our churches.
We lost many, many people.
Because
many
of that. People. And,
one of them.
Yeah, because, you know, this guy is a rapper.
Yeah.
And the way you came to Christ, you know,
was through that.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of people that I know who came to Christ through rap. Cause, you know, cause one thing we've got to know, guys, that there are people who are never going to listen to Hillsong.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, there are people who are never going to listen to Darlene Check or to Joel Houston or to Israel Houghton or to whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Because that they just don't relate to that.
Yeah.
But if you play them a rap track, if you play them Lecrae or something, you're like, hey, this is Andy Mineo and all these guys. It's like, wow, this is pretty dope. Because maybe they're coming from a deep, you know, hip hop sort of background. But what I love about Ravi is the fact that he could see that he even said himself that I could see that these guys can reach people that I'll never be able to reach.
True. Yeah.
And I think it's so important in the body of Christ for us to understand that we each have a gift. We each have talents that God has given us, audiences that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And now the moment we start criticizing each other because of a method we don't understand, right? We lose a whole generation. We lose our impact. So I think that's one of the things I love about Ravi. I was like, this guy is being intentional about reaching a different race, number one, and a different culture altogether.
Yeah.
And now when you read through some of the tributes from people like Lecrae and The Truth, it's just profound what they have to say about about Ravi.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so profound because, you know, looking at the RZIM website, it states that their primary mission is to reach and challenge those who shape the ideas of a culture with the credibility of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And, you know, when we started Radiant Culture, you know, our thing was, you know, shaping culture, shedding a light, influencing and shaping modern day culture for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I said it on one of the posts that I put up on Instagram and Twitter about Ravi Zacharias, and that, you know, him and his material were literally a key inspiration in starting Radiant Culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all have been impacted by him. I mean, we literally fed off his stuff. It literally shaped the way we planned our podcast, how we facilitated them, and how we always had a theological apologetics angle to every single thing.
Yes.
And that's someone we have never personally met.
It's crazy,
had
right?
This impact.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking that, look, we've reached, you know, we constantly reach over 3,000 people every single month.
Yeah.
Through Radiant Culture. And that was inspired by all this.
That's amazing.
And that shows how successful he was in doing that. You know, in reaching out to us and challenging us who are shaping ideas of a culture.
Yeah. That's so good, man. That's so good. And
No, I got nothing to add to that. That is... I didn't know it said that on the website, but it makes perfect sense. It and we all shape people's ideas and cultures, and we have that impact, and it came from there as well. So it's pretty awesome.
Another thing is that it's
And by the way, Ravi is the most quoted person on our podcast.
Oh, really?
Followed by John Piper. Yeah.
Oh,
because Cookie Monster is also.
I quote him. I quote him a lot. And you know, funny you say that, because another thing I loved about listening to Ravi was how he used to weave poetry and philosophy, and he just had a way of bringing all these different things together. I remember I had never heard of a lot of the people that he referenced and quoted. Like, I didn't know C.S. Lewis. I mean, I knew about the Chronicles of Narnia and stuff like that.
You know,
but the way he then, you know, he actually got me into C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
And a lot of like guys like G.K. Chesterton, Malcolm Muggeridge, like you mentioned earlier. And then even, you know, people like philosophers from back in the day, people like David Hume, Friedrich Nietzsche. I didn't know about any of those people. And even also just the whole culture of reading and studying. Mm. I used to read a lot of, it was either a business book or like a Christian book. I'm talking about a book by like T.D. Jakes or Joyce Meyer or, right. And there's nothing wrong with those kinds of books.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what Ravi then got us into was to actually do deeper reading.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Things that were more, I guess that were more
analytical.
More reading. Analytical. Yeah. That challenged more of your logic, your thinking, your philosophy. And, I can actually just attribute all of my reading culture to Ravi, because that's where I learned that. Yeah.
Ravi, for me, listening to all the people he'd quote and the ideas he'd bring forward, and in particular, how he would lay out the idea, sort of the methodology behind how he would convey this point to people.
Yeah.
The other thing, aside from a thirst to read more or investigate, it was, he was teaching us how to analyze, how to reason.
Yes.
Just how to reason and how to lead one thought to the next and what to do when you landed that thought, where to go, how to branch out, all of that.
Yeah.
Of course, he was leading us down a particular path to help with, I mean, it's a soundbite, so he's going to a certain conclusion. But the great thing about that is when I would then talk to other people and would pose a question, I would know like, okay, I'm going to start from this point here.
Yes.
And I'm going to end over there. So I'm not even going to mention this. That's a great question. All right. Supposing this, have you ever considered here? Then the person goes like, right. Never. So now that you know where you're going.
Now all of a sudden you're this smart guy.
Yeah, you're just this guy like, oh, I never thought of that. Yeah. Rather than back in the day, we're like, no, let me tell you, the Bible says this and this is the result, you know, but here you'd lead a person and you'd show them and help them reason within themselves and come to those conclusions by themselves. It was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Actually, yeah. I mean, listen, guys, we could talk about this the whole day. And I know we need to bring this to a close. But I must really say that initially I was really heartbroken personally. Because the question that I'm gonna ask as we round up is, I just wanted to talk about how Ravi has impacted us all personally. I know we kind of referred to that earlier on, but I wanted to be more specific, just to talk about how Ravi has impacted you personally, and what his life and his death actually mean. I can go first. I remember, because I used to follow Ravi a lot, you know, and as you know, I did that apologetics course in 2015, after how I started listening to Ravi back in the day, I think 2008, 2009, and then I kind of stopped. And then in 2013, when I had my episode, fell sick, was in hospital, memory loss, my life was just a bit of a mess at that time. I remember the person the person who helped me during that time was Ravi. Wow. Because that's what I used to listen to. You know, I remember thinking, ish, my memory loss, I'm dealing with all these issues that, I'm trying to repair some relationships. And at that time I felt like I was so disappointed with myself. Right. And I was feeling very, it was just a very low moment for me, and Let My People Think became my go-to place. And that helped me to the point where I then ended up doing the course with RZIM, And of course, you know, that was just mind blowing because of then you actually get to see how the whole machine works and all the different people that are part of it. And of course, you know, that's something that we didn't talk about, all the different people that we ended up getting exposed to, people like John Lennox and all the other thinkers that are, that were part of Ravi's world. So, yeah, all of that. And I think my journey really sort of began then. That's when my, my journey began, after I fell sick that time, where I really challenged myself to engage more, to pursue God more, and to take my faith more seriously. And it's been a journey that I'm on, and that I'm still on. But what Ravi has meant to me is that he almost became like that, like a distant father to me. And, sometimes I would forget that I haven't actually met this guy in person yet, because I felt so, I felt such a connection with him, which was weird in some sense. But just the way he's lived his life. I remember when I found out about his diagnosis, the prognosis, I sent Keith a message just saying, dude, do you realize that the falling, quote unquote, right, of a giant like Ravi and many others in, of his generation means that we have to start rising up. Right? We can't wait for someone else to do it for us.
Yeah.
And as much as I was really heartbroken about his passing and everything that happened, I would say the one thing that has challenged me the most is to look at my own life, you know, to say, but what impact am I going to make? How am I going to live my life? What am I doing to pursue my calling and to pursue my own journey with God? And am I willing to pay the price to do what needs to be done? You know, and that's been, it's been such a deep sense, you know, over the last few days where I'm just like, wow, I really need to be, you know, to be pursuing God more seriously. And I remember the day that I got news of his death, I literally just parked by the road and I couldn't stop the tears, and that whole day was just gone for me. But, you know, for me, that spoke to how much of an impact Ravi had had on my life. But I think beyond that, his death, the whole journey of him and to, you know, the whole journey of his sickness to him passing away just goes to show that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
God has his generals, but people like Ravi have given us shoulders to stand on, you know, and we can only do more. We can only see further because of the foundation that they have laid for us. And so I'm really inspired, you know, I'm inspired to run again. I'm inspired to pursue God again, like never before. I'm inspired to make a difference, through the platforms that God has given me, just through watching how he's lived his life. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. For me, it's quite similar for me. Whenever I doubted the faith or I had doubts, my go-to was Ravi all the time. And I would always just be encouraged. I always have a logical reason to, you know, to justify why I was doing what I was doing or why I believed what I believe. And, my journey with Ravi was kind of, it was intense in the beginning.
Yeah.
And kind of wore off a little bit. I wasn't following as much of it or listening to as much of his material later on, simply because I gravitated more towards John Piper. But it was because of Ravi that I didn't know John Piper.
Yeah.
It was because of people like Ravi that made me investigate. When I stumbled upon John Piper, I kind of gravitated towards him more often. But I would always go back to Ravi, you know, that once in a while, and like, you know, when I was really at that low moment, it was always Ravi that did it, you know, that, you know, would put me back, and I would go back into the scripture and say, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Let's find answers to this thing. So that's the kind of impact he's had on me personally and the ministry and just doing what I do. And yeah, it's like you said, you know, just receiving that news, first of all, that he was sick. Something in me, you know, when I first heard about it, I think it was about 3 or so months ago, and that they were, you know, he was going through some treatment.
Yeah.
and that he had cancer. And something in me, I don't know why, I just felt like, nah, this is it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't bring it up to me to kind of believe that he would get healed. I don't know why it was. So I just started asking myself about, hey, this guy, just looking. That's when I started researching on, you know, his life and how he built his ministry and stuff and how I can apply it to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And just looking at it, and I'm thinking, man, this guy pursued God passionately and relentlessly.
Yeah. Yes.
He took advantage of every single opportunity. And I was looking back at my own life and saying, how much time am I wasting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not as relentless or as passionate as this guy. And if this guy, this is Ravi, who can explain literally everything.
Yeah.
He can't explain this cancer away. And he's going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can't, you know, run away from this definite definite end that's coming. This inevitable thing that's coming, that's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah.
So if it's going to happen to all of us, between now and the time that happens, I have to make most of every single opportunity.
That's good.
Do what I've been called to do.
That's very good.
And do it passionately and relentlessly.
That's good.
Yeah. His impact on me, you guys have kind of said many of the things that they were similar for me. Cookie mentioned him like, regarded him as like a father. And I would say the same. He was a father.
Yeah.
And I needed him when I first started listening to Ravi. And I think I'm in my church because of Ravi. I've had many opportunities to leave. many good reasons to leave. But he grounded me.
Yeah.
He definitely grounded me. He kept me focused, kept me challenged, kept me thinking.
Yeah.
You guys know my work, which requires me to be up and down a lot. And many of those long 3-hour drives were listening to Ravi.
Yeah.
Listening to messages one after the next. I downloaded podcasts because of Ravi.
Yeah.
I didn't care about podcasts before him. So he had a tremendous impact. And when I heard the news, I was surprised. I was just like, huh? Okay.
From where?
I was just kind of like, okay. And I was in a funk for a minute. And I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. The nearest I've had to that kind of feeling was, maybe I've had it 2 or 3 times when a dear friend actually passed away. And that's what happened. And then I remember 2 days ago, was it 2 days ago? After listening to that message you had posted,
mm-hmm.
I just broke into tears as well. And I thought to myself, look what he's done. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, he's done so much, so fervently, with so much passion, so much fire, through so much. And I'm like, I've got as good a call on my life. No one's call is like, you know, lesser than anyone else's, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? Will I have that testament of me? Who am I? He did what he needed to do and it impacted me.
Yeah.
Who in the world is waiting for the impact I'm supposed to have on them?
That is such an important question.
But I'm not doing it. Or I'm not doing it enough.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going as hard as Ravi has. That's what I'm so grateful to him for. He has that, he leaves that question and that, don't stop. You're not yet there. You got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
You've got more you can give. You've got more you can do. don't think you're there yet.
Yeah.
And that for me is the thing that like really like tipped me over, and I was like, oh no, this, yeah.
Yeah.
Mic wow. check.
Wow, gents. Man, I wish we could just keep going, because there's just so much, yeah. you know, we can talk about this profound man and, you know, servant of God. And, you know, the one thing about Ravi is that he actually didn't like, you know, for people to put him on a pedestal.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
True.
He wanted it to be all about Christ and all about Jesus. And if you read, even, you know, if you just check out the hashtag, thank you, Ravi, you'd just be amazed at all the messages that are coming in from everywhere, like literally everywhere. I was blown away, guys. I'm like, what? People from countries that I've never even heard,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and they're just all thanking him. So that's testament to the fact that, you know, when you live your life well, you will impact people. And so that's my challenge to all of us who are listening, yeah. you know, to say, this is not to idolize Ravi in any way. You know, he was a human being just like all of us. He was imperfect, but it's for us to see the pattern, for us to see how life can be lived,
yeah.
and how you can really make an impact on people when you dedicate your life to doing that. And so I hope we're all encouraged, and I would encourage those of us who don't know Ravi to check him out, Ravi Zacharias, to check him out online. We stand with the family, with the ministry, and I know it must be a really difficult time,
yeah.
you know, to lose the founder and someone who was so dear to them. If we're feeling it like this here,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, what more
yeah.
the people who used to work with him directly. So that must be really difficult. And so, yeah, man, so we just want to implore you guys to, I think this is the time, guys, for us to pursue God. You know, if you're out there listening, to take your calling seriously, to take your walk with God seriously, and really begin to think about what your legacy is going to be, what you want people to remember you for. And not just get caught up in the things of this world, which so easily happens. And so, yeah, I think that's all we have to say for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's good.
Yeah. Ravi has really impacted us in many deep ways. I want to thank the gentlemen for coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biscuit.
Mr. Kent.
Cookie Monster. We're out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.